What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
Looks good, y'all.
Why are you talking like that, y'all?
Because, you know what I mean? Everybody's low-key right now.
Pimpin'. Know what I mean? Yo, so check this out. You know how I tell you guys that my kids, like, there's like a jealousy thing going on, especially with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I've told my wife, I was like, yo, you know, I'm a little worried about that dynamic of her being jealous, but also she's jealous in the way that she's way more like standoffish on showing like her feelings and like cariño, you know? Why can't I think of cariño in English?
Just being sweet.
Affection.
Affection. Being affectionate.
Damn, look at that.
Look at that. The non-Latino busted out with it.
I don't know. We can't call Kay that though.
What, non-Latino?
He's deeply entrenched in Latino culture.
Oh no, he's Latino by default and by osmosis.
Not me.
So you know, so anyways. So this is what happened. So yesterday, the routine is that, you know, the kids, we go upstairs after dinner, after, you know, they decompress a little bit, go upstairs, and it's bath time, and then it's bedtime. And then between each of them taking a bath, they can do something like play, or sometimes my daughter has to do homework or whatever. So my daughter's usually first. She takes her bath, and then I'm playing with my son, and then whatever, they change. So my daughter was doing, like, got out of the bath. She was starting to work on her homework. I'm starting to get my son ready to go into the bath, but we're still, like, finishing some, like, playing. He's playing with, like, little car toys and stuff. And then he likes to, like, you know, rough play, like, wrestle and, you know, like, jump on me and stuff like that. And we're sitting down by, like, a corner wall, and I'm playing with him, and I kind of tickle him, and he throws his head back fast, and he hits his head against the corner of, like, a
Ooh.
Corner.
Corner? Oof.
A Damn. Corner. And, bruh, he, like, you know, lost it.
Yeah.
So I, like, grab him up real quick because I felt, like, guilty because, you know, it was me playing with him that made it happen. So I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm, like, rubbing his head because that's the only thing I could think of to do, like, to minimize what he's feeling. And he's crying, and I'm holding him, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And then my daughter's just looking, and she's actually going up to her bed, and she's looking, and she goes, how come you don't ever do that for me? Oh. You don't ever worry about my cocos, because that's what we call coco, you know, like when you get hurt. Yeah. You don't worry about my cocos. I go, of course I do. She goes, no, you don't. You don't care about me. You only love baby bro.
Oh, damn.
Oh man, that
has she ever like said it straight up like that before?
Not really. She's made little comments, but nah, this is the most she's ever articulated. Which I'd rather her articulate something like this. Right. And I'm just like. And I got up and I was like, how could you say that? I'm like, you know, and I go up to her and I'm like, you know, she's all like being all serious with me. She doesn't want to talk to me. I'm like, do you really believe this? And she's like, mm-hmm. I go, you really believe that I love your brother more than you? And she's like, mm-hmm. Or that I care or that I tend to him more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, you know, and I try to explain as best as I could. I was like, you know, we're two parents, you're two kids. Mommy, she takes the role with you and she does a lot of stuff with you. And I, you know, end up doing a lot of stuff with your brother, but it's not because we're purposely picking each other out, you know, you or him. I go, that's not what's happening here. And I was like, you know, I try to assure her that I love her the same and that they're both equally important and that she's my firstborn. If she, you know, if she could even grasp what that even means. And I'm like, she's my first love and she's the only girl in my life in terms of the daughter, and he's the only boy. But
what
yeah,
would you,
man.
What would you have done if your son stopped crying and said, "Your first love"? What do you mean by
that? I mean, well, he did his version of something like this was when my daughter a couple weeks ago came up with the paper for the daddy daughter dance and is like, "Daddy daughter dance day, I can't wait." And then he goes, and he was like, "Yeah." And then she goes, "No, you can't go. It's daddy daughter dance." And he just started crying.
Oh man,
he's like, "I want to go."
Oh damn.
And that was like his, you know, younger version of a meltdown in that way. But yeah, it's rough, man. Kay, you don't have two or three, but Manny, have you ever had incidents like this where one of the kids calls you out saying that you love them less or that you only do for one and you don't do for them?
It's happened, particularly with my youngest. She's now 8. But she's super petty. And she has a habit of saying things that she doesn't mean all the time. And we catch her and show her and she'd be like, "Okay, you got me." So she knows that she does this stuff because she's super dramatic, super petty, and has to have everything her way or else she's going to let you have it, right? Whether it's fair or not.
That's my daughter, too. What sign is your daughter?
She is Pisces? Yeah, Pisces.
Okay.
But it happens. We kind of just like, we hold her accountable. And we always, see, we're really good at bringing up like examples of stuff, like very specific, typically relatively recent, where it's not like, "Oh, that didn't happen," or "It was debatable." And then all of us hold each other accountable. So we all get in on it. And we try to be very fair about it. And so that tends to help us in our situation, because it's like, you don't have any real wiggle room. It's either you're being petty or actually something happened that we need to address. Rarely is there like any middle ground. So we kind of hold, you know, just let the truth kind of prevail and then hold people accountable. My daughter's personality, though, I think also helps. And she'll be petty, she'll hold a grudge, but if you can stack evidence, she'll cave. She'll be like, "All right, yeah, you know, she'll like throw a smile or walk away, like fake crying, but then be laughing in the corner after she knows that, you know, she got what she wanted. So it's always like these mind games with her. But it's never been anything serious.
Yeah, my daughter won't cave. She'll stick to something.
How did that night end with your daughter? Like, did you just walk out of the room after a while?
No, I mean, I do a little prayer with her before she, you know, my wife, this is where it's becoming the issue. Like, my wife tucks her in and like make sure she goes to sleep and does the routine with her. And then it's like we each go to our corners, and then I take my son to the room and I do the routine with him till he goes to sleep. And I guess maybe my daughter's just like, "Why? Like, why does this have to be like every night you go with him and you spend this time with him?
Why don't you swap?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I did that night or yesterday, I was like, I do a little prayer with her. And then I just tell her good night and kind of left it at that. You know, I was reiterating to her how much I love her. And she was like, "Okay, yeah, you know." And then,
yo, petty gang.
Yeah. And then, but me, my wife and I were saying, maybe what we need to do is do the routine together. Like, her and I put her to sleep. Little guy could hold off and wait. He's like, she was like, basically what I do with them when you're not home at night, you know, where she has him wait while she does the routine with her, and then she'll go to him and tell, you know, my daughter, "Hey, okay, good night, you know, and now I'm going to, you know," or she'll tell him, "You got to wait till I'm done with your sister."
Can't you do so every other night? Or is that just weird for the kids?
I just think the kids, they're very like, they're into their routines. And yeah, the minute you switch it, they're like, it's already hard enough. My son is doing this crazy thing where he has to get up off the bed like 3 to 4 times afterwards. It's like a game for him now. It is. He never used to do this, but it's like, okay, good. You do everything under the sun. First it used to be one book, then it became two books, then it became two books, but the last book you got to do it twice. Then it became now three books, and the third book you got to do twice, plus the prayer, plus a song that I sing for him. All of that. And so then I'll do all of that and then leave, and I'll tell him, don't get out of your bed. And then we hear the door wiggling open, and I'll just look down the hall, and then he'll look and close the door, and then I'll open it, and he'll be like behind it hiding. And I'll be like, get in your bed. He goes, and he giggles, and he goes back to the bed. And he'll do, the other night, he did it like six times. Like, it's like a game. But again, what I'm trying to say is that the routine, even something like that, now that's the norm where he'll do that. If we break the routine, it'll probably be like some other random thing that we don't know that he's going to start doing. Like, they're just really good about their routines. And then once we break them, they switch up in terms of like how well they'll go to sleep. So, but we want to try to do it together. Hopefully that works.
Would you guys do it all together? So like, for instance, is your daughter the one that goes to sleep first, or do they both go to sleep at the same time?
I've tried that. It won't work because he'll still demand all, the laundry list of things that he wants done. And he fights it. Like, if I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And then starts crying. And then he's going to wake up his sister, and it's like, nah, bro. Like, also, the other thing, he always, no matter how many pisses he takes before, he's always like, oh, I got to take a piss. And usually he'll take a piss, but then oftentimes, too, he'll be like, nothing there. He just wanted to get out the bed.
It's like, got you.
I don't know why. I just imagine when you said you sing a song to your son, I was like, I imagine you sitting next to your son and you're singing the chorus for Coolio's Magic Carpet Ride, and your son is like,
yeah. Nah, I made up this song, and I don't even think he cares about the song anymore. He used to be very into the song. He used to be into the prayer. He doesn't care about any of it anymore. He just wants me to go through. He just wants to extend the time that he's awake now.
Everybody wants to hear the song now, right?
No, chill out.
Come on, dog.
I've said it before. It's just a song where I'm like going through the motions of everybody in their lives and that they love you. I'm like, mommy loves you. Daddy loves you.
We
like,
need
I
to
just,
hear that.
I'm not doing the song.
We need to hear the high pitch.
No. You good.
Do the Coolio version.
No. I'm like, son, you straight out of Compton. I was gonna mention something else too that had happened with them. Oh, and then yesterday, well, I told you he got hit, so he hurt himself. A side note, funny note is I'm like, oh my! Afterwards, I didn't notice that a bump formed in the back of his head.
Chichong.
I was like, and I tell him, oh my god, tremendo chichong, and he goes, chichong. And I go, yeah, you have a chichong. Chichong, chichong, chichong. Everything was chichong. He woke up and he goes, ay, chichong.
Yo, they say you rub a little salt and butter on that thing and it's supposed to.
Really?
That's what.
And then what? Stir fry it? Like what?
If you want to saute or stir fry, yeah. But no, that's supposed to work. I mean, I've done it.
Okay. All right. How many?
Right.
There was something else I wanted to add to that, but I guess that'll be it for now.
So wait, you had a daddy daughter dance?
We talked about this,
did we?
Yeah, didn't we?
Oh yeah. Wait, no. You talked about the ice cream truck joint.
No, no, that's just the clip that was put out. No, we talked about it.
We did.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah,
I was.
You're acting like me on Drink Champs, where I don't remember what we talked about.
But wait, you just sent clips. You just sent through something, Manny, about
the basketball.
We were talk about yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Right? Man?
So I had like a dope, week, 7 days. So I got the opportunity. I think I might have mentioned this last time around. I got an opportunity to take my daughter to a Knicks game. Had dope seats. And then so it was Tuesday, one Tuesday, and then the following Tuesday, I was able to take my son. So I've always wanted, like I've always said to myself, yo, I want to like sit courtside. Or actually, what I've said is I want floor seats at Knicks games, right? And I got the opportunity to make that happen. So I went.
Baller.
My intention was to buy one ticket because these joints are crazy expensive. So
you
I was
going to buy. Kid on your lap?
Nah, I was going to go dolo. I was like, yo, this is my dream. Right. Y'all going to have to chill. But I was I got creative.
Listen, we know what he means.
Yeah. Right? So I got creative, and then I found like I called the Garden. Basically, is what I did. Madison Square Garden. I was like, yo, I'm trying to get these seats. Like, who could I talk to figure
They're
out?
Like what? Manny from Fatherhood.
Yeah. Right. And it was like, hold on, let me pass you to the VIP,
Mr. Digital. Right.
No, but dead ass, they put me through to the VIP ticketing people.
Nice.
Or person. And I come to find out, I was able to, for the amount that I was willing to spend for one ticket, I was able to get four split between two games. So two in one and two in the other. And I was like, yeah. So I'm over there, you know, whatever, figuring it out. Finally, I settle on a couple games, a couple tickets, a couple seats. And then we go. Last week, took my daughter. She got her favorite player, autographed her jersey. We had awesome seats right behind the Knicks bench. And we came out on TV a couple times. Like, it was a dope experience. My daughter gets home. She tells my son about it. My son knows he's going to go the next week. But he's happy for her and all that. My daughter goes, yo, I just need you to do one thing when you go to this thing. And he goes, what? She goes, you can't get more autographs than I did. So what does my son do?
Get more autographs.
As soon as he gets there, yo, not only did he get more autographs, she got one.
She had to know she was setting that up, though.
I think so. But this dude got seven, but he lucked out because as soon as I get over there, so I'm sitting in these seats, the guy who's doing the electricity for my basement happens to be the guy who picks up all the gear for the visiting team. And like,
what is the odds of that?
I found out before the game, but.
Is that a thing when you get floor seats to go get autographs from? Is that thing? Or?
When you do,
or were you just being an annoying fan?
Because they have shoot around right
the middle of the game. Excuse me, can you sign?
Before the game starts, they let you. So some people get access to shoot around. It's not everybody. Even if you have those seats, I don't think you necessarily have access to shoot around. So we got access to shoot around both games. That's where we were able to get the bulk of
before the game.
Yeah, like. Hour and a half before the game. So anyhow, so my electrician happens to be the guy who I call him a ball boy, but I think they're like the locker room technician. So he
sounds way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ball boy.
Right. So he sees me. I call him out. I'm like, yo, he sees me. He's like, yo, you got dope seats. And then he finds me later.
He's going to charge you more for the next job he does.
For the job.
And to get the ball boy thing, only electricians are allowed to get that job. Yeah.
Only at the Garden, you got to be an electrician. No. Now, he's been doing that for like 20 years, 30 years maybe. So he grabs my son and lets him come on the court to rebound for the team.
And that's not the dude in the video that you sent us. The dude in the video is the father, right?
No, I'm going to get to that. That's even better. So my son's out there, he's shooting by himself for a little while, like the only kid on the court. Then the team comes out, starts to shoot, get warmed up for the second half of the game. He's over there grabbing the ball, rebounding, passing to all these players.
Your son?
My son, bro.
Man.
Wow. And nobody's questioning this? Like, there's
no, it's, nobody it's else legit. Is saying,
I don't think he's supposed to be there?
Nah, it's legit. Like, the guy said, yo, come. And the security was like, yo, he said, go. So do your thing. And then, so we're in the back. So when you have these seats, they give you access to this, if I call it a cafeteria, it's like a...
The Ciroc Lounge?
Levels down. It's a lounge. It's a lounge. And there's mad food and all this stuff in there. So in there, it's attached to the Knicks locker room. So they can easily come out and get food and go back in if they wanted to. So the best player on the Knicks right now, the most like highly touted guys, his name is Jalen Brunson. His dad, Rick Brunson... is also a coach for the Knicks.
Oh, wow.
Rick Brunson happens to be walking by And my son looks at me, looks at him. He's like, yo, that's Rick Brunson. I was like, yo, go tell him you want a picture. My son didn't miss a beat. Jumps out of his seat, goes, like, yo, Rick, can I get a picture? Rick, like, disses him. He's like, nah. And he, like started making his way to the locker room.
Oh, shit.
And then turned back around. I was like, nah, just kidding. And, like, hugged my son and grabbed him, whatever.
Damn, what a hard ass. Yeah.
Damn. So for a second, I'm looking at it like, that really just... And then I'm like, oh, okay, he's just being an asshole. Like, I would. Perfect. So I'm taking a picture. I'm doing video and picture at the same time. And then all of a sudden, he's like, yo, come. I'm taking you to the locker room. I was like, he's lying. Sure enough, he walks to the locker room and opens the door. He's like, you can't come to me.
Makes sense, like, now with the first part of the story that he would say that like that.
Right. Well, I wasn't sure if he was serious or kidding.
So you just...
But I stayed. I was like, I'm not going to ruin this for him. Let him just do his thing. And then as soon as the door closed, I'm like, yo, that's an asshole parenting move, bro. I just left my son alone with a perfect stranger.
Yeah.
But my son meets Jalen. Jalen's injured. He wasn't going to play. He barely saw him at the game. Sees him. He autographed it. My son got to talk to him for a little bit. There's a few other players that were in there. And, bro, like, he came out of there, like, on a cloud, bro. And I saw Rick later, and I'm like, yo, thank you so much. And he's like, yo, like, you're welcome. Like, super cool dude. But that whole night, bro, was just like, oh. And at the end, another dude that was just there that I happened to know through other people, I introduced myself. He gave me wristbands. We got to take a picture at center court and really had, like, all this access that we just weren't expecting. So
another electrician?
They have like a union there.
Nah. Shout out to Randy Cruz. That's his name. He's a dope content creator, but he works for the Garden, like helping kids get some of these experiences. So
that's cool that he brought your son out there.
Yeah, he looked out, man. It was an awesome.
Do you think
night.
It's because you knew him or because you had good seats?
Nah, so that particular thing, I think it was just we clicked there and he just offered it to us. The fact that I had those seats, I don't think it hurt, but I don't think that was the reason. Because okay. I easily would have not been able to get on there if I didn't have those that bracelet that he got us.
Because the average family in the nosebleed is not getting that access.
Probably not. But another lesson is like, yo, who you know. Because in both, like, the electrician was one example, and then the homeboy, Randy, that I just met, but because we had mutual relationships, like, if it just felt like, you know, sometimes you meet somebody for the first time, but you know people through other people, and it's just, you vibe. It was that kind of party.
Did your son play it up to his sister when he got back?
He was pretty humble about it.
Was he?
He didn't try to make her feel bad, because he figured she would be jelly. And she's the hot. So the funny thing is, my daughter's like, yo, dad, send me pictures. And I'm like, yo, you sure you want to see what we're doing right now? I was like, you sure? Because this shit's crazy. And she's like, yeah. Yo, by the fourth picture or the fifth video, whatever the hell I said, she's like, my wife's like, all right, I think she's good. But yeah, man, it was wild. So I got to figure out how to get more seats over there and make some of this shit happen again.
That's dope. That's congrats, man.
That's a good experience for
glad your kids had a good time.
Yeah, bro. I'm still mad high from that whole experience. Like, I don't even know what else to talk about right now. How about this? Yo, if you're listening and you fucks with the Fatherhoods, please subscribe on YouTube. Just search Fatherhoods with an S, two words. Also, check us out on IG. We're heavy on IG at Fatherhoods Pod. And if you have questions for us, DM us on IG. Because a lot of the time, people have questions about some of the stuff we talk about. And we love to answer those. Typically, we do it on DM. But if it's good enough, we'll bring it to the pod as well.
And if you have your own advice for us, for anything you hear us talking about.
Yo, that's actually a really good point. Because I get this sometimes from people like we're authorities. And bro, let me tell you guys, like we are the furthest thing from an authority on being a father. Like we just happen to have a podcast. That's really the only difference between you listening and us on here.
And happen to have kids.
and just happen to have. But no, for real, like a lot of insight comes from just people having conversation. That's the whole purpose of the pod. So please, like, engage us. Like, we'd love to hear your takes on anything we talk about, or just general advice for kids age range 8 through 17.
No, that's the age range?
Less, because your daughter's what, 4?
Jeez, 5? My son is 3.
Your son is 3. Damn.
Yeah, you just X'd my kid out of the situation. Well, yeah. Damn, I quit. Right.
You know what? I was looking at Kay the whole time.
Yeah, that?
What a dick. He goes to the Knicks game, gets VIP treatment.
So, all right. So anybody's still in school, basically, is what we're talking about. How about
newborn to, or even pregnant to whatever age? So 40 years old, if you're a kid growing up in Miami. Because you live with your parents still. I saw something that they said, what's the most Miami thing, you know, about you? He's like, I live with my parents. I'm 40 years old.
That shit ain't Miami no more, bro. That shit is everywhere right now.
Yo, wild. What was I watching? I was watching something. Did I share something with you guys about the generational thing? And did we talk about that already? Remember about the lady talking about the therapy and Gen Joe Z? Rogan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that on...
We talked about it?
Yeah.
There's a clip up on IG, as a matter of fact.
Oh. Well, I'm going to go check out that clip. Well, I know we can't get into this now because it's too much stuff to get into. And we've talked about it a little bit in the... You know, it's something that comes up often. But we do have to start to tackle and research more about the effects of AI for the future of our children and... And all of us, really, but for what it means immediately for the kids.
I'll tell you what it means for my 17-year-old. It means homework's getting a lot easier.
Well,
the fuck out of that thing.
But that's the thing. Look, I was watching something today about it, and it was discussing about corporations and financial institutions and kind of like these entities that are in the background that are really controlling things. And how they are applying AI for more control, right? Mm. And what it's one of the things it was saying to what you're saying is that the evolution of people will be to be to I forgot the words that they use, but we're gonna start to lose the skills of writing, lose the skills of being creative because we're gonna just
defer to that.
Deploy AI for everything. Like, I don't want to write a caption anymore. I actually was doing that the other day. But at least, you know, I think it becomes generational because if you come from a certain generation where you did it enough, that skill's kind of in you. But imagine a generation that doesn't do it, you know, and just uses these tools.
Calculator was the first AI because no one can do math anymore.
Yo. True, nice. But I think even though we grew up with calculators, we still learned, you know, we still had pencil and paper and we had to work out problems.
I can't even help my son with his.
No, because the way they do math now is ridiculous. Like the format of the way they do it is crazy, bro. Yo, real, I know we promised we were going to end the episode, but y'all going to have to bear with us for a second. Mm-hmm. Listen to this
rabbit hole.
I speak Spanish. You guys speak Spanish, right? I learned Spanish the non-traditional route, or I guess more traditional than the school route. School, you know, they teach you stuff, but a lot of people who learn it in school, unless they go really deep and advanced, don't really have the ability to speak fluently a lot of the time. So I learned at the house, speaking to family, like in the real world. My daughter's learning most of it, unfortunately, because we suck at teaching her in school. So yesterday she hits me with, Dad, can you help me with this sentence, how to translate it? I'm like, sure. She gives me a sentence. I can't remember what the hell it was. And she's like, and then I translate it for her. And then she goes, okay, but can you put that in the subjunctive of the, I was like, shut up. Don't talk to me about subjunctive.
I never even heard that word.
I was like, I don't know.
Subjunctive? What the fuck is that?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, when you have a cold, different... I'll blow your nose.
Yeah, I got to drop a subjunctive in the toilet right
now. I'm like, yo, I don't think about Spanish in the academic way. I think about Spanish in the logical way. Like if you ask me, how do you, like earlier, How do you say cariñoso? Affection. Okay. Right? Like, I don't ask me to put it in any tense or any. No, I just know this is the way it's supposed to be said. So she's asking me all these questions. And I'm like, yo, honey, I can tell you that what I'm telling you is correct. How you piece it together in academia, I couldn't even tell you.
Google Translate.
So it's the same thing with math. Yo, math is like a whole nother language now, the way the kids do math. You're not there yet, E, but when you get there, you're going to be like...
No, but okay, look, but you kind of diverted from what I was trying to get to.
Yeah,
but
on purpose.
But to bring it, circle it back, none of this shit is even going to matter in the near future with AI and all these applications, because they're not going to have to learn the language if it's going to be it's so easy to translate in real time.
But what do you... So here's devil's advocate for a second. Just like evolution has taken away things that were done more consistently by human civilization, right, in the past,
mm-hmm.
we've elevated into higher order things, and we've kind of, you know, automated or eliminated, you know, things that we were doing that used to be kind of the norm.
Right.
My and this is going to skew different ways depending on how things shape up, but I think that's similar to what's happening. I can't tell you what it's going to look like. But I think humanity's evolving where something like language is changing again, and something like AI is helping to not have to think more about X and now potentially focus on Y.
Well, you're right, E, about that people lose the skills. But then I saw a quick read the other day that what people are saying, you know, because people say, okay, well, you have AI, then it eliminates the need for humans to do X, Y, or Z. But the way that you counteract that is humans need to learn how to, in a sense, control the AI. So it's like you use it as your tool for whatever kind of job you're doing. So it's not like the AI isn't the first thing that's doing the prompt and doing the work. The human is still
controlling it
and conducting whatever it is that AI is doing.
Right. But don't you think,
but then you lose, but yeah, you will lose skills.
You won't know how to write. This is the first, or not the first time in history, but the dependence on that and then the losing of the skills, if the internet and goes out or someone nefarious hijacks AI.
But I'm telling you that goes back to, I mean, I was making a joke about the calculator, but
right.
But you know, I would bet that a good majority, if you go into a store and then the cash systems went out, and if someone had to
figure it out,
do the math, and I've seen it before where the systems are out and people are struggling trying to figure out how the hell to add shit up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you're not using that. We're not using those skills on a day-to-day basis because we have technology that can do it for us quickly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see it as the calculator to me is not a good, unless you're fucking doing those scientific problems and shit, you know, like those crazy math equations. I don't see it as a problem because I still feel that we had calculators, but we still learned how to use it, at least a certain generation. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know how the generations afterwards, if they implemented the calculator into every single day in math class.
I'm just saying, even if we learned it, there's still a level of forgetting. Like, even if you did memorization on certain, like, tables and stuff, there's still a level of forgetting that stuff. And especially if you don't, just like with language, right? If you know multiple languages, but you don't use it, you're going to forget that, right? There's going to be forgetting. So any kind of learned thing, like math, for example, you know, you might retain some of the basics, but if you're not using it on a kind of keeping it sharp, it's going to be harder to do it quickly.
But don't you think we still use the useful math? Like, I don't go to my calculator for like accounting stuff. Like, I'll use it to check my math. But I still write out and do, like, my wife laughs at me. I carry, you know, I carry the numbers over and all that stuff. And she laughs at me, but I still do it.
Well, you're keeping your brain sharp that way.
Right. That's more like for you because you're comfortable in that and you're probably doing it to like challenge yourself so you don't forget.
I don't know about challenging myself, but
I mean, it is to an extent because that's your habit.
I get it. I mean, look, I'm going to send you the clip so you guys could peep it because I think I'm always terrible at kind of regurgitating some of these things. But the person also goes into like all the nefarious things of all these organizations that you know are out there to like basically win off of the detriment of humanity. And it's not a conspiracy theory. Like the way that they lay it out is like, yo, it is what it is. Like, look at what bots have done to the world. Like what governments have done with propaganda and bots to change populations' ideas of things. And so that's a real thing. And they're like, well, imagine now these government-sponsored bot campaigns added with the AI technology. They're like, it's out of here. It's out of here because
we're,
now you have.
We're going to witness that this year. Yeah, we're going to witness that this year.
It's happening now. Yeah, in real time. And that's the thing. I don't think this is. I'm going to try to see if I can make sense of it, and we're done here. But the problem is, it goes back to the innate common sense that you should have, and I feel like the generations coming up are losing that common sense. And defaulting on whatever they see as being real first before they like question. instead of saying I'm not sure this is real first, they're like it's real first and then tell me it's not later, you know?
It's too late. It's like the simple kid shit when they're young, you know, like elementary school, whatever, and you know, they hear one thing from a friend, like so and so did this, and then it's automatically true, right?
Right.
Because that's happening every day in my house.
Because there's no other source, they're not fact-checking a sort. They just, oh, this must be true. So-and-so said it.
It's like, it's like stunting growth. It's immaturity. Yeah. It's like a stunt. And I don't, and that's what I really think is going to happen, like, or is happening. It's stunting everybody's growth. Like, I see grown adults who didn't understand social media reverting back to, like, being, like, kids in the terms of them believing or thinking someone was their friend, you know, and like all these, like my mom, like, oh, I have a friend in Istanbul. No, you don't, mom. Motherfucker's not your friend.
All right, let's close on that note.
Yeah. Hey. All right, y'all. Peace.
Pizza.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child.